Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by...
Do you wish you knew the saints better? Overwhelmed with all the events in Catholic history and just wish you could tie it all together? It's tough work, and even scientists have determined that it takes approximately 400 repetitions to create a new synapse in the brain. Unless it is done with play, in which case it takes between 10 and 20 repetitions. Introducing Saint Cards, where the facts about saints and history are presented in fun and engaging games for ages 4 to 104. Check out Saint Cards at saintcards.com and begin the fun for your family, school, and parish today.
Introducing the redesigned CatholicSingles.com, featuring new ways that put the spotlight on the person and their faith, not just a profile picture. For the past 20 years, faithful Catholics have used CatholicSingles.com, and the reimagined CatholicSingles.com website is ready to help single Catholics take the next step in sharing meaningful relationships with other faithful Catholics. Remember, CatholicSingles.com for faith, fellowship, and love.
What are you doing this Lent? The St. Paul Center is streaming their newest video Bible study for free starting Ash Wednesday. Based on Scott Hahn's renowned covenantal theology, this is a study no one should miss. Invite your friends, Catholic or not. Don't miss your chance to see this premium study for free. Go to stpaulcenter.com to sign up today.
Good morning, Philip.
Good morning, Ricardo.
We record a little bit in advance. It's a very icy and cold and gray day as we are recording this, but in the hopes that this is the middle of March and we are beginning to experience the promise of spring.
We'll see. I doubt it, actually. So, second Sunday of Lent, though, that's what we're looking forward to, the second of five Sundays. And maybe I'll read the Gospel and we'll chat. Where am I reading from?
You are reading from Luke, Cycle C, chapter 9, verses 28b. It says, we pick up middle of the sentence in verse 28 up till verse 36.
Jesus took Peter, John, and James and went up the mountain to pray. While he was praying, his face changed in appearance, and his clothing became dazzling white. And behold, two men were conversing with him, Moses and Elijah, who appeared in glory and spoke of his exodus that he was going to accomplish in Jerusalem. Peter and his companions had been overcome by sleep, but becoming fully awake, they saw his glory and the two men standing with him. As they were about to part from him, Peter said to Jesus, "Master, it is good that we are here. Let us make three tents, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." But he did not know what he was saying. While he was still speaking, a cloud came and cast a shadow over them, and they became frightened when they entered the cloud. Then from the cloud came a voice that said, "This is my chosen Son. Listen to him." After the voice had spoken, Jesus was found alone. They fell silent and did not at that time tell anyone what they had seen. The wonderful transfiguration story. Is this always the second Sunday Lent over all the three cycles?
So we have Ash Wednesday, then we have the temptations on the first Sunday in Lent, and then we have the transfiguration on the second Sunday of Lent.
Two things stand out. First of all, the presence of Moses and Elijah. Jesus as the fulfillment of the Old Testament prophecies. Mm-hmm. This is that stamp. This is that clear statement that this is who Jesus is. He's the Messiah. Mm-hmm. But of course, one line in there, one beautiful line in there that you just can't help but contemplate on. "Master, it is good that we are here." Peter says that to Jesus here. And what a powerful statement. And here's a very sad reality. What a rare statement that we say today in life. Why can't we say that more often? Where I'm at in life, boy, it's good that I'm here.
You are taking it in the positive, and as always, I take it in the negative. Peter is saying, here we have you with Moses and Elijah, and then you. He's trying to place Jesus in the categories he knew, in of the law and the prophets, Moses and one of the prophets, Elijah. And I think that's a negative. I think it's he's trying to say there, and the gospel also indicates in several ways that that's not a positive statement. I'm sorry to disagree with you. And Philip, you are not right. It's a beautiful sentence, yes, but here is used as a negative. I don't think we agree to disagree. I think.
Explain that a little bit more. I think I still disagree with you, but help me follow this.
You see that I'm
becoming animated here.
Yes, no. So what Peter is saying is to say, yes, we believe in you, Jesus, but we are going to place you in the framework that we understand, which is the law and the prophets. And then it's good that we are here up in the mountain, this brilliant experience in the mountain. And here we have you. We are going to encapsulate you, to put you in the box with what we understand, which is Moses and the prophet. And then the voice of God interrupts him and says, listen to my son. This is like when you go on a road and you are driving and you see something that says, do not throw trash here. It means that people are throwing trash there, right? Otherwise, you wouldn't have, or don't use the altar as a desk, as I saw in a parish. That means that people were using the altar as a desk. So when God says, listen to my son, is that his own disciples are not listening. They really see that there is something great in Jesus, but they don't accept his being the Messiah totally. They're still trying to accommodate him with the tradition they have. You know what I mean?
Sure, if I might rephrase, hopefully accurately.
As you always do so well.
What Peter and the companions are saying is they have a narrow view of who Jesus is. Mm-hmm. And God the Father kind of says, no, this truly is the Messiah. So it's more of a restrictive view versus the truth.
When you preach, you have to look. And even if you are just going, I mean, if you're going to Mass, you should know, if you would read the gospel before and the gospel after to see what comes, the context is very important. After this, they come down the mountain and they are unable to perform a miracle. And Jesus says, oh, no, that's one of those that is easy. You just need to pray. Like, it's very ironic because Jesus is telling them to pray always. So I believe that's also proof that there's one of the Gospels, I don't think it's the one we read today, when it says that Peter didn't know what he was saying. So what more proof do you need than that?
Well, how else do you look at the Transfiguration, Lana?
I look at it as I'm afraid to mispronounce a word. It's a pivot moment.
Pivotal
moment. So there are signs in the gospel about references to the baptism. There's a voice from heaven. There is a reference to the dazzling clothes, both of the resurrection and the baptism. I think this passage brings together the birth, baptism, transfiguration, and resurrection of Christ as these four important moments. And it's
pivotal.
Pivotal, again, Mike, why don't you say the word? I would need to say it 100 times.
Well, you could say a pivot moment or it's a pivotal moment.
But even here, when they come down, as I said before, then they have to move to Jerusalem. Jesus says, despite everything, despite the misunderstandings and everything, we have to go to Jerusalem. So even taking it this way is a pivotal. So isn't Lent about this for us also, that we need to pivot? Pivot means that there is some change, some transformation, right? It's not a total distraction of the past. To pivot means that it's a degree. It's not total. And maybe that's Lent for us.
I think that's a really interesting point. And in fact, that's a pretty good word, actually. Sometimes we use the word conversion. Conversion, I think in many people's minds, at least in mine, I guess, I think sometimes wrongly of it being just turning around. So going in one direction, turning around. Pivotal is a fundamental change in direction. And I think of maybe more options and more ways for doing that.
So we are disagreeing on the word. And that's very interesting, because I think you would make more, I would be more comfortable with pivot being a total change, a total pivoting. But pivoting, you keep the axis. You know what I mean?
Right.
There is something there about, yes, you change, because that's the real, that we're going into something else today. But at least pivot means that you stay firm in the basics, something that you would say, the axis stays there, and the only thing you are doing is to move around it. It's a very interesting image, I believe.
I think it is true.
The other thing that we didn't mention, but you made me remember now, is that we tend to say conversion, right? There was a whole Lent that we discussed, we preached at Sacred Heart, on the idea that what Jesus is calling for when he comes down back from the temptations is not repentance, it's change. That it's one of the most mistranslated words in the whole of the New Testament. That Jesus is really asking for change, at least proposing that idea that repentance seems to be only about sin and seems to be very time-specific, where a change is more open, and I think it's wider, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it's less loaded religiously. So that's another possibility, how to preach change, no? This is a moment of change. Jesus takes his disciples, and then now he's going to take them to Jerusalem. It changes things.
But let me go back maybe then to the original point in the beginning about master, it is good that we are here, is more of a positive, I guess. In that,
you insist.
So in that, the disciples there who are present are not perfect, as we know they aren't, but here they're not in a perfect situation. They don't have full understanding. They are kind of, I'd agree, perhaps misunderstanding Jesus. But it's still good that we're here. We've got to start from somewhere.
That's, okay.
That's always the call to discipleship. It's the call to understanding Jesus more clearly in his revelation. But yeah, it's good that we are here. We're never going to be in a perfect position to start something, to convert, mm-hmm. to repent, to pivot, to whatever it might be. So it's good that we're here, and we don't stop there, of course. And then that's from where we move forward. So I do think perhaps there still could be some problem. I'm trying to rescue this.
I disagree with your interpretation, but I agree with your outcome. So I will say fine,
mm-hmm.
because the outcome is very good.
Okay.
How is that?
I think that's good.
Okay.
Let's end with that a little agreement.
I'm famous for my diplomacy. Not really, but you know what I mean. I think the interpretation may not be respectful with the text, but the outcome is fantastic. I think that's one of the ideas that you mention often that I think is very good.
Yeah. Well, what do you think? You know, as you hear this on Sunday, come to Mass and pray about this, read ahead of time. By the way, all the Gospels from Lent, except for the fifth Sunday, are from Luke's Gospel. They're not sequential. They're from different places. And then John's Gospel is going to be the fifth Sunday of Lent and then Palm Sunday. But sit down and read all of Luke's Gospel to know that context. I will agree with you, Ricardo, there, that it's really helpful to know the before and after of certain instances.
And the great line you had last week about reminding people that first readings this season are very important. So
yeah,
also
important
to invite people to read them.
And beautiful, yeah. So if you're looking for Mass times this weekend, you can go to the Archdiocese of Milwaukee's website. That's archmil.org. Not only Mass times, but a lot of other good stuff there. You can even click a link on the front page to get this podcast by email every Wednesday. And then nationally, masstimes.org is a good place to go for that.
And as we always say, also, if you know of someone who would benefit from listening to this podcast, tell them about us. Tell them that we exist.
All right. So I will see you next week then.
See you there.
All right.
Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by Jack Kane Ford. Find your next Ford Tough vehicle at caneford.com. CMF Curo is the country's first Catholic healthcare ministry to provide an affordable health sharing solution rooted in Catholic teaching and community. Learn more at mycatholichealthcare.com/podcast. That's mycatholichealthcare.com/podcast.